Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate, with Dr. Howard Simon, professor of surgery and director of minimally invasive and bariatric surgery at Upstate, joining us this morning. Good morning, Dr. Simon.
Good morning.
Welcome back. We haven't seen you in a while. We want to talk about bariatric surgery, and you've been here before for this conversation, but, you know, it bears repeating, and there's some research out now that we didn't have before. Let's talk about some of the advantages for folks who is eligible to have bariatric surgery, but really what people can expect from a process, because that's what it is, a process, isn't it?
That's right. You know, when I see a patient who comes to my office with a hernia, we talk about it and we fix his hernia. It's not a long-term project. When somebody comes in who's been overweight for years and years and years and is morbidly obese, there's a lot of discussion that needs to be had. There's a lot of behavioral modification. There's a lot of dietary issues that need to be resolved, exercise issues that need to be resolved. And it takes somewhere between 3 and 6 months, if done properly, to get someone ready for the operation.
And that's actually what this is, isn't it? It's weight loss surgery, in effect, but it's not a quick hit by any means, by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all. I think that for patients who are morbidly obese, the operation is necessary. It's not sufficient.
Let's define morbidly obese.
There's two ways of defining it. The old definition was more than 100 pounds overweight. That isn't completely accurate. What we do is we look at the body mass index. That takes your weight and corrects it for your height.
Okay, body mass index is what we hear it called BMI.
That's correct.
All right, so now tell me again, it's a combination of your height and your weight?
You measure the weight, you measure the height, and it normalizes the weight to the height. So if you have a patient that's 300 pounds who's 6 feet tall, their BMI would be less than someone who's 300 pounds and 5 feet tall.
I see. Well, that seems to make perfect sense. Now, these are folks who definitely need some kind of correction in their weight. But why? Not just because they'll look better. There are a lot of reasons to get this kind of surgery.
Well, all the chronic diseases that we deal with in society are much more common in patients who are overweight, obese, and morbidly obese. For instance, if your BMI is over 35 and you're a woman, you have 100 times higher chance of developing type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
If you're a man, your chances, if your BMI is over 35, of developing type 2 diabetes is about 50 times higher.
Really?
And that's also true with diseases like high cholesterol, although we certainly see skinny people with high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
High blood pressure, much more common in the obese. Sleep apnea, almost epidemic in the morbidly obese. And lots of other problems, stress incontinence, gastroesophageal reflux disease, arthritis, which is certainly made worse by being overweight. There's no organ system that's left untouched by being overweight.
And so in the past, somebody could go on a diet perhaps and they could lose some weight and maybe regain that weight and then maybe lose that weight. And then these techniques were developed to help them surgically, but that really is only a part of the process. Let's talk about what some of those techniques are, because it's not just one type of surgery, is it?
No, there's two operations and actually a third operation that we're beginning to offer as well. But I think the important thing to remember is that once you get to be morbidly obese, patients can certainly lose weight. Patients lose lots of weight with diets and exercise programs. The problem is that about 98% of those patients will gain it back within 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, which is almost perverse, is that most people gain back more weight than they lost. When you go over dietary history, somebody will say, I lost 40 pounds. How much you gain back? 60. The record, I saw a man that lost 200 pounds on a diet and gained back 225.
Oh, gosh.
So the operation is the only way to get long-term weight loss. But if you don't change the way you live, you're going to be one of the people who gains the weight back.
Well, I've often thought, and I'm somebody who has struggled with my weight all my life, I've often thought that this is really more about my head than it is about my physical body or my eating of food.
Well, I think obesity is a very complicated disease. I don't think we know anything about it. There are certainly a lot of neural pathways and hormonal pathways that go from your gut to your brain,
mm-hmm,
that we don't completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
So while we say people who are overweight, you know, it's in their head, that may be part of it, but it's probably also in the rest of the body, telling their head what they want to do.
So at a point, somebody who is obese, they come to a point in their life where they say, all right, I am this, I need help. Surgery may be one way of getting that help, but I actually need help to improve my health. It's not just about their appearance, although their appearance will improve as well.
Well, that's true. You know, everyone says, well, this isn't a cosmetic operation. Mm-hmm. Well, clearly, de facto, it is a cosmetic operation, because if you lose 100 pounds, you look better. Mm-hmm. But that's not why insurance companies pay for it. I don't think they really care how people look. They care how long they live and how much healthcare resources they consume. Mm-hmm. And the theory is that if you lose weight and become healthier, you will ultimately cost less money. That's why they do it.
That's, and you know, especially in these conversations about healthcare reform these days, we know that, don't we? That the health insurance companies are looking for ways to reduce costs. And if you reduce your weight, you reduce your costs in general.
It seems that.
It does.
To be true.
Now, let's go back to what you were saying about it not being a cosmetic approach. There has got to be a ratio between men and women, and I'm going to guess there are more women who get the surgery than men.
In our group, and I think this is probably true nationwide, about 20% of our patients are men, 80% are women.
And do you chalk that up to just the cosmetic possibilities?
Again, I'm not an expert in gender studies, but I suspect it has something to do with our society's perception of appearances, and that women are held to a different standard than men.
It is an interesting look at it, but I also have to wonder, I mean, I think of the men I know, and I think women are sometimes maybe even braver about going through something like this, or accept that it is a process more than the men, who might be looking at it as it just isn't worth all that effort to them.
Yeah, I think, again, when we see men, there's not a lot of difference in the men that we see from the women in terms of their motivation. Mm-hmm. And the men, there's no difference in the way that men do postoperatively. So I think the ones that come to us are certainly just as willing as the women to make the necessary changes to ensure that the operation is successful.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the health benefits of the surgery, because the cosmetic benefits, I think, are obvious to everyone. You can look at someone who's lost 100 pounds, and as you said, it's very clear that there's been a benefit to them. But there are studies now, there are research studies that talk about some of the health benefits, and some of them are astounding. The ones about diabetes, to me, are just astounding. Tell us about them.
Well, let's talk about diabetes first. With a gastric bypass, the resolution, that means being able to be off all your diabetic medicines, the resolution with the gastric bypass is about 80%. So 80% of people who have type 2 diabetes will no longer need medicines after a period of time.
That, don't you find that to be an astounding number? Did you think it would be that high?
Well, we sort of know, this has been known for quite a while, mm-hmm. actually. Back in the 70s, people understood that gastric bypass resolved diabetes. And it doesn't have to do just with the weight loss. There are other complicated hormonal and biochemical reasons for it. And then, you know, of the 20% that aren't, quote, cured, or I think cure is the wrong word, remission, mm-hmm. Those patients in general require less medicine as well. Now, with a gastric band,
which is a different technique. Let's
different
just
technique.
Make sure we're talking
which
about
different
two different
technique.
Techniques. Uh-huh.
The diabetes resolution rate really isn't as good overall, where we say it's about 82% with the gastric bypass. It's about 48% in some studies with a laparoscopic gastric band. So I think that it may not be as good a choice for the average diabetic, a band that is, mm-hmm. than a bypass. But you know, we have patients very commonly who are on, you know, 1, 2, 3 medicines for the diabetes. And when they get off it, you know, they're very happy and clearly long term. You know, the studies have shown that the best treatment for that, the best outcomes with diabetes is to have strict control.
Mm-hmm.
Good
right.
control. That's what
right.
endocrinologists do.
Right.
Well, there's no better control than getting rid of it.
Getting rid of diabetes?
Totally.
I guess not. But now, I find it interesting, you said it isn't just about their losing weight. There are some hormonal changes as well. How do those hormonal changes come about?
Well, after you have a gastric bypass, the way we use insulin has changed.
Ah.
And insulin is used more efficiently. There are certain gut hormones that are changed. And the interesting thing, probably the most interesting thing about this operation is about 20%, 25% of people who are diabetic, they leave the hospital off their medicines.
Already?
Already. So in a significant proportion of patients, in a significant percentage of patients, they go home off their diabetic medicines. Now, clearly, in 2 days, they haven't lost enough weight to
right.
get rid of their diabetes.
Right.
So we know that there's something else going on.
It's interesting, but those are studies that have yet to be done. Is that what you're...
Well, I think people are looking at it because yeah. clearly if you can mimic the biochemical changes inherent in a gastric bypass and make it pharmacologic, you can develop better drugs for diabetes as well.
Absolutely. Very interesting. You know, I'm seeing commercials all over the place. They're talking about different surgeons who are here and there and success rates and before and after pictures of people who have had surgery. Is any bariatric surgeon going to be able to have the same kinds of success rate? I know you're accredited now, and part of the accreditation is these success rates, isn't it?
There are two ways to become accredited. One is through the American College of Surgeons. One is through the Bariatric Society. We chose the American College of Surgeons. They're both reputable organizations. To get accreditation, you have to be a well-established program. So you have to have been doing it for many years, at least you know, probably 2, 3, 4 years, and demonstrate good results.
Well, and then if people are looking at having this done and talking to different people, they should be looking for that accreditation, shouldn't they?
Yeah, you want to go to an accredited program, and you want to have a surgeon in a hospital that is high volume, because the studies have shown that high volume surgeons, high volume hospitals have better outcomes.
And the more of them that they're done, the more success rate they have in general?
I think that there's a steep learning curve to this, and that's both for the surgeon and for the hospital and taking care of the patients.
How can people get more information?
Well, they can contact our... bariatric office. We have a website.
You do? Okay. What's the website?
The website is in the Department of Surgery.
It is. Okay. And we will connect to that from our HealthLink on-air website. And also, I think if people called Upstate Connect at 464-8668, they could probably be connected with you as well.
They can get an appointment to the Bariatric Center.
Very good. Well, Dr. Howard Simon, thanks so much for coming by this morning.
Thanks.
Listeners, we will be back in a few minutes. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.